continue with our meeting and welcome South African National Biodiversity Institute, the chairperson, the CEO, and the chairperson and other board members. I don't know whether you're alone or you're accompanied or you are just alone. Okay, the chair and then other, the CEO and other members of the executive of SANB, you are welcome. We'll hand over to the chair then to introduce the team and then tell us what you want us to do.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. And to thank you for the opportunity to present our report. Ideally, we could have come with a few board members, but we are very much conscious of the cost containment, so the board has asked me to represent them, so that is why I'm on my phone. Yes. Before I introduce my team, to say to you, Chair, once again, you have an institution where the male species is endangered. So we have Mr. Kwasi as the only member.
I know where it comes from, Chair. I know where it comes from. Yes. Probably coming from the top.
I was going to say that. I'm a gender activist. And for me and, of course, my other colleagues in the gender activism movement, SANB is probably a testimony of how when you put a woman in a position of power, they'll be able to find other women. So this is the net result of what has happened. And this is even prior to the current minister, because the previous minister was a woman. So this is what we have. Chair, I have already been introduced, and I have with me here the CEO, Tanya Abrams, who's been with us. This is her 10th year. And for me, very sorry that this is her last presentation to this committee. So we have to be in search of, and of course, yes, last annual report. So, yeah. Unfortunately, we would like to keep her, but the Act doesn't allow us to keep her. It's a restraint, yes.
Okay.
So we're very sorry to lose her. And I have also in the team Carmel Mbizo, Head of Branch Biodiversity Science and Policy Advice. And of course, on my left, I have Lerato Sithole, who's the Chief Financial Officer. And the endangered species, Mwekezi Kwasi, to my right. And of course, Vivian Malema, extreme left. This is the team that I have brought with. I thought maybe let me just start off, Chair, with just talking about the board, because this question was raised earlier. SANB is, we have a full complement of the board. In terms of the Act, we are supposed to have 9 board members. We have 11, but the 2 are ex-officio members, so they do not have a voting power. And thanks God, we've never had to make a decision based on voting in our board. So, and what we encourage about our board is it's a good balance between gender, race, geographical spread, discipline, and age. I'm the youngest member of the board. We have in the past years received an unqualified audit. So we've gotten used to getting unqualified audits. There's a matter of emphasis that the CEO always speak about. And also, Chair, I'm happy to announce that the AG is happy with our governance system, and this was as judged by the combined assurance model. So, this is who we have. In terms of some of the things that I'd like to highlight is that we have achieved 98% of our targets, which if it was an exam, would be having a distinction. And we are also expanding as an organization. Some of the things I'd like to talk about is the 2 new gardens that we have a launch. Well, we have this year, one is in Isgwelega Garden in the Eastern Cape, and there is another garden in Thohoyandou, which we're hoping to launch, and the committee will be invited to the launch. It will be during this financial year, probably the beginning of the new year. We also are involved with New Horizon projects, one of which, the big one, is being the Global Green Climate Fund. This is at the instigation of our minister, and I'm happy to announce that SANB will once again be the national implementing entity, and I believe we should be doing that at the beginning of, during the course of this month. We will be embarking, well, being, we are, we will be starting once again at the beginning of, during the course of this month. The other one is the National Collection Facility. SANB is taking the leadership in this regard. We have been working with DST, Department of Science and Technology, and they are the ones that are providing the fund and some expertise in this area. We're also looking at new infrastructure. For this present year, we are looking at a new building, administration building at our Kirstenbosch Gardens. And in the future, we will have to create a facility where we will be able to house the natural collections that we are busy gathering around the country. So that's coming up in the future. And that this will be in Pretoria. And in the area of human capital development, SANB being a science institution, there's always a difficult and shortage of skilled scientists to run and manage the organization. So in the area of human capital, we have been involved in Groen Sebenza, where we were able to increase the development training of scientists and, of course, creating employment. Mm-hmm. And Ms. Groen Sebenza here, Vivian Malema, will talk more about that. And then also we have increased our relationship with the entities. We've always done that, but this year we've increased our relationships, in particular the universities. And in the universities, the board was emphatic that we should use more and more of the formerly black universities. And this year our focus was the University of Venda. We have also increased our working relationship with the municipalities and the other departments. We have in the past worked with the Department of Science and Technology, but this year we increased to work with the Department of Agriculture, Fisheries, and Forestry. Coming to the challenges, I mean, one could talk more about the highlights, but of course this is what the team is here for. The challenges that we have identified is the area of growth. Growth on its own is a good thing, but what you have with growth is you have an increased need for human capacity and finances. So it's a good thing, but the challenge is going to be how do we then get to put in the human capacity and the financial capacity. The other challenge is one I've spoken about, the cost containment, which means for us we have to find ways of doing more with little. And like other countries, like other departments, the other challenge that's facing us is the low economic outlook. So for us as an entity, we have to find other creative and innovative ways of increasing our income. And hopefully at some point we'll be able to talk about what are some of the things that we're looking at to increase our income. I don't need to take too much time, Chair, but before I close, I'd like to thank the Portfolio Committee, because you are the ones that are helping to keep us on the straight and narrow, and we appreciate these opportunities to interact with you. And also to thank, obviously, Dia, the minister and the deputy minister, who we have a very good working relationship, and of course the DG and her team, good leadership. We are always and forever talking to them to make sure that as we as we function, we know that, you know, we have their support, and we are also, you know, on the same page as DEA. From my side, to thank my board for their really for their strategic leadership, and also I'm happy that our board is very clear and understanding of the separation between policy strategic responsibilities that we have and operations. We do not, I think the executives are here to can attest to that. We make sure that the executives do their work, and we are very happy with ours is to have an oversight role, and I think we do that with dedication. And of course, I do have to thank the CEO for your visionary leadership. She's been able also to build a good team. And of course, I spoke earlier about the 10 years of continued unqualified audit. And so thank you even before you get to where you live, but I think I should thank you here publicly. And of course, the executives for their capable managers, and of course, they form a very good team. And I've already spoken about the good working relationship that we have, that the board has with management. And on that note, Chair and Honourable Members, I'll let the CEO proceed with the presentation.
Thank you, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members. It is a pleasure to be making this presentation. I am cognizant of the fact that of time, so this is the outline, and I will some of it you've seen, but I just think that it's always good to remind everybody, and there are some slight changes, but that's the outline on the page one. Should we just move to the next one? So just to remind you what our vision is and our mission, I think you've seen that. It's often always important to remind colleagues about that. Next. So we also want to keep you abreast about giving you key information about what's happening to us and make it as brief and as informative as possible. And so you know where we are, we report to, subject to PFMA, are not subject to all the public service regulations, our proximate staff number. I think that one of the things just to note is that this past year we had Grootse Benza pioneers participants on our payroll for the duration of the project, but the fundamental number for staff is approximately 700. We are located in 10 National Botanical Gardens, but 11 locations. We have a herbarium in Durban Garden, even though the garden belongs to the Itiquini municipality. You just missed, Honourable Chair, to cut the ribbon on Kwelecha before you came, that is now in development, and our Limpopo Garden will be the 11th National Botanical Garden by the end of the year, which makes us have a national footprint which we did not have before. We are also have developed, and we will be discussing with the department this afternoon, our gardens expansion strategy, and clearly there is a space where there is not a garden, and that is in that northwest, northern part of Northern Cape area. So we will be discussing with them probably what will be the 12th NBG after my time, though. And our head office is in Pretoria, but at least we'll lay the foundation. So our policy and legal framework is with the Act and various regulations and obligations through the National Biodiversity Framework and the National Biodiversity Strategic Action Plan, which is Cabinet approved. And then, of course, we also have obligations in the Minister's Delivery Agreement. But new has been the work around climate change and our role with the climate change long-term adaptation scenarios, as well as ministerial and departmental requests. And one of the areas just to highlight is, which is a ministerial and departmental request, is part of an international obligation and role, which is to be the national implementing entity for the Global Adaptation Fund, which we've been doing for the last 2 years. And as the chair mentioned, this October we will become the national implementing entity for the Global Green Fund, which is part of the UNFCCC obligations of the country. So it's an interesting time of growth and expansion for Sanvi. Just to show you how we relate with the outcomes that DIA negotiates at a higher level and how we ultimately connected to the development plan. I note, having read the Finance and Fiscal Commission's presentation on Tuesday, their views around the links between the work that public entities do and our National Development Plan ambitions. So that's just a way to show you how we link in with that next. And the next one is just to remind you that we also play through DIA and our planning process through some international agreements, such as the Convention on Biological Diversity, now with the United Nations Climate Change Convention, as well as other conventions, such as the Desertification Convention and others. And ultimately, of course, to the Sustainable Development Goals ambitions globally that has been crafted and agreed last year. So we do feel ourselves as being contributing right up the value chain to that. Next, thanks. So often, Chair and members, I think in the last 10 years that I've been here, the issue about how do we communicate why we exist and what we do in a way that is understandable to all has been a challenge, and we have grappled with this challenge. And this is the infographic that we have developed and increased over time, basically to show what we do and what we influence in terms of our work. And I think you've seen it before. There's some changes, particularly at the top, for us to understand better what we influence. As time has gone by, we've influenced more and more things. So that is a bit of a enhanced infographic. And really, Chair and members, Honourable Chair, we would really, really be grateful if you could engage with this from a layperson's perspective and tell us if we are, in fact, putting over exactly our relevance to development and our relevance to society and the challenges we face in South Africa. Next, please. So the highlights of the year, and my chair has already indicated some of that. We continue to have an unqualified audit. Two or three years ago, we got a clean audit, and I'm very pleased to note that the members are sympathetic with those who achieve those kind of heights, and the only way is down. So the last 2 years we've had a few findings, but still we've had unqualified audits. I think for me this year, the big thing about this year is this amazing performance against targets, 98%, which essentially makes it us not having achieved one of them, and we achieved it partially. But I think when I talk about it, it's the only thing I'm going to focus on because we don't have anything else to focus on. Everything else is achieved. But I think it's a way we did that target. It was a target that was not in our control, but we will talk about it when it comes. The other thing that's been interesting this year is that we've had more visitors in our botanical gardens than any other year in the existence of Sanvi and its ancestors. My view is, I think that as economic downturn is occurring, I think that our gardens are seen as a cheaper form of experiencing nature. It's also nearer urban areas. And so I think increasingly visitors are coming to our gardens and not spending a lot of money going further away to enjoy our nature. And I think we should take advantage of that. We don't want to undercut sand parks and provincial parks, but we should take advantage of the fact that, in fact, the price to come in through our garden and experience this amazing biodiversity of our country is on your doorstep and affordable. The other highlight is we had a new board appointed and already very highly functioning. And I think we are very proud of the fact we always exceed our procurement targets. And I think we made a comment made from the source presentation is that I think we've been particularly successful in leveraging our grant that we get from the department to basically get other funds. And so, for example, particularly other departments, I mean, DST, for example, has added additional funding to us this present year, and I don't want to steal the thunder of this year, but DST has consistently given us additional funds for work which they see as being important. Also, private sector funds, particularly foundations and philanthropic funds and international donors, we've had quite an increase in the array of donors that fund us. And also we have built on our reputation from the previous years about international donors. I'll talk a little bit about that as well. And I've talked about the new garden, so we'll move to the next one. So many of our existing projects and programs really yielded results this year, and of course we've also got new projects. I think municipal support program has particularly been a strong one, and we've been doing this engagement with the municipal level at from different angles, which includes the issue of supporting municipal officials to put biodiversity assets into their IDPs, but also we engage with them in the planning arena and in the climate change adaptation arena, and quite a few municipalities. I think you'll see from my annual report this year, for me, this seems to be one of the big growth areas, is our engagement with municipalities, helping them to bring biodiversity and its assets into reckoning when they make their planning. Then the other big area that happened this year is all the work up to CITES COP and the work that we've been working with the department around the sustainable wildlife economy strategy, and also our participation, obviously, in workshops, including workshops with African colleagues to look at other scientific authorities on the continent. So we've been doing quite a lot of work. This 2015-16 year has been a lot of work around getting our country act together in order to be able to have the success that CITES COP was, in my view. But we also don't want to jump ahead to this present financial year. The Global Adaptation Fund National Implementing Entity really has been really great pilots, and again, I want to extend an invite to the Portfolio Committee to particularly come to our Umgungu Ndlovu municipal work we're doing in the Umgeni River Basin, where we're looking at the whole river basin system and how do you climate-proof communities for the change that is going to come. And this set of communities have been quite buffeted by disasters, by floods, etc. And so it has a real relevant impact onto their life and to change the lives of people. And in the Global Adaptation Fund, we're working in KZN, as I mentioned, but also in Limpopo, in the Mopani district, and Northern Cape, in the Namakwa district. The other area of science that I think has had huge growth this year is the marine science. And really, we've always done marine science, and we've always given it a little bit of money, and it's been a very small team of very energetic people. And what spurred us on to take that science into practical use was the coming of the Operation Pakisa Ocean Economy Initiative by the department. And so we were able to actually have some baseline information that wasn't available anywhere else. It was actually very nice to see our staff like Kerry and Moliso stand up and display this marine information, which in many ways people might not have known we had it. We also had relationships with the key stakeholders, including the petroleum stakeholders, the mining stakeholders, the fishing and trawling, and a whole lot of stakeholders. And so we were able to bring that as a value add into the Pakisa Oceans Economy run by the department. And we really think that that was a really important initiative. We were very pleased that we were able to contribute it towards it and to what we think is going to be its success. And at the same time, little hidden agenda here, we were able to then raise money for research which we would not have been able to do before. So the offshore research in Eastern Cape, it will be the first time that scientists will be doing major near shore and far shore bed research on what's happening off the Eastern Cape and in terms of us understanding how to protect the biodiversity as economic development happens in the Eastern Cape area. So it's an exciting highlight, I think. Next, please. Just to talk a little bit about how do we mobilize new and alternative sources of funding, I've talked a little bit about the DST funding. They're very pleased with our work on biodiversity information provision, and Minister of DST mentions it in her budget speech, and they take it as their achievement. Not sure if it's a double dip. Maybe our minister does as well, but anyway. The work on climate change at local level, I spoke about that with the Global Adaptation Fund, and we are so engaged with such a range of funders. You'll see it in our annual report, some of them new, the Global Environmental Fund, a lot of acronyms, CPEF, GBIF, a whole lot of global funders. And clearly, I think one of the competitive advantages we've gained over these years is that we are seen as a reliable partner for funding. For example, the JRS funding, which is an American funding group, gives us the money for the African work, which has its good sides and also has its bad sides. But nevertheless, we were talking at the break about this phenomenon. But we certainly have attracted a lot of funds this year. Next. Okay, so skills and competencies remain the biggest challenge to us. And this year, I think we can call it Human Capital Development Year, which is why we really wanted Ms. Malema to come and tell us a little bit more. And when I will skip over the part of my presentation so that she can talk about it with your permission, Honorable Chair, more detail, because it is very fascinating. So just to say in brief, we have been working with an organization which we've created with a philanthropic organization called Green Matter, and later on I'll tell you a bit more about the metrics. We've had this amazing high-energy project, Kruunse Benza, which just for your comfort has been audited a number of times and miraculously had not a single issue because it was 44 organizations, we leading Jobs Fund funding to take 956 young people from unemployment into jobs. Vivian will talk a little bit more about it. And internally, our science and horticulture career ladders, the science career ladder, which is a little bit older, is showing success in building our timber, and the horticulture career ladder, which is the first of its kind in the world as far as we can see. Kew Gardens wants to borrow it. We said they can have it as long as the IP belongs to us. I know some of the members are interested in IP. And of course, we continue to spend at least 2% of our payroll on development of staff, and we've had major demographic change, particularly in our science level. In other words, our core business. It is easy, colleagues and honourable members, to talk about transformation and look at the numbers. But I think for me, what is core is transformation in the core, which is in the science area. And I think we've made achievements and strides this year. Thank you. So that's the demographics. You've seen the diagram. Just to explain that we don't have short-term contracts in Sambi. What we must do, though, is put staff on contract if it's donor funded, because worse is you put people on permanent, and then the three-year or five-year contract comes to an end. And so that has been but we do regard them as staff. They get the same benefits as permanent staff, and therefore our reflection of our demographics. Next, please. So, here again, I think you know that we divide ourselves into six programs, and the first program always, according to National Treasury's instructions, is always about the corporate services and the efficiency thereof. And so I want to just get guidance from you, Honourable Chair. Would you like me to go through every performance indicator and strategic thing, or would you like me to hone quickly into the one we didn't achieve to its full extent?
don't know what would be the view of the members, but I think if you can just give us the highlights.
Skip through.
Yeah, and maybe in the areas where you've not really performed well, just emphasize on what the corrective measures will be and,
okay,
and all of those. But I don't think it's, I don't think you should go through in detail, just highlight and then.
So under program one, which is the efficient and effective rendering, render efficient and effective corporate services, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 targets of the 41 targets, and each of them were achieved at 100%. I think the one that we did achieve, but just to say was quite a struggle, was the 2% of payroll for staff development. And I think, if you will remember, Honorable Chair, that in the quarter three, we came to you and you indicated that we were not achieving that, and you also indicated that it was a very important one, but we did achieve it in the end, and we intend to continue to achieve it. It already is beginning to show retention, improvement of skills, professionality, just by putting 2% of payroll to spend on staff development. As I indicated, the number of black professionals which we developed, the annual performance statements, the AFS produced and submitted to Parliament, the network services. Again, it's interesting you made a comment about ICT or IT service, I think you did, Honourable Chair, to our previous colleagues, and we in the past have had issues around that, and the Portfolio Committee has raised those issues, and this year we have no problems with it at all. We have achieved the ICT services for both the SOARS and for SAMBI. If ICT doesn't work, we almost can't manage our organization. It's in a knowledge and data-driven age that we're going into. And so this year, last year, and this year, we are accelerating our expenditure in making ourselves fit for the future with ICT, because we can all die, but the ICT will need to remain and the data needs to remain strong and reliable and accessible. So it's a very important part for us. The marketing, I think, just to say, we achieved what we wanted to achieve with marketing, and the outcome of it is that growth in visitors to our gardens, in my view, including our internal platforms, our media engagements, etc. So under program two, which is about gardens, as I indicated some of the highlights here. Of all the targets under gardens, which is 1, 2, 3, 4 targets under gardens, we achieved them all. We've always historically performed well in this space. It's part of our core. Between science and gardens management, it's our core. The plant species that are within our garden forms part of our scientific work. We have had a number of major and minor infrastructure and maintenance projects in this space, and I think when our chair talks about growth putting a strain on say, for example, financial systems, the CFO will talk about what drove our minor assets to be so many, but she'll talk and explain about how those minor, how our minor assets have grown exponentially in the last year, and we didn't quite catch up with the system to record those minor assets. So in some of the garden's targets, we exceed the target. We're trying really to target better. Although in a volatile economic situation, it's actually quite difficult to target what we'll get. But this is the target that we adjusted halfway through. I'm just looking at my colleague, halfway through, because we saw that we were exceeding it beyond the allowable level. And so we would have had an emphasis of matter because we'd exceeded the target beyond 20%. And so we increased the target halfway through. So the next program, Program 3, which is building the foundational biodiversity science, we have, I think, in the very first target, in quarter three, you indicated, Honorable Chair, as this committee, that you were concerned that we would not get this target. We did, in fact, achieve this particular target by the quality control records. We achieved the targets of the number of species compiled, and the number of environments for ecosystem classification developed, and the national maps. So we achieved all the targets in this space. Next. The program, previous? Yeah, just to give you a sense of the hundreds of articles, papers, and books that we produce on an ongoing basis around biodiversity information. Next, please. So Program 4, which is about monitoring and reporting on the state of biodiversity as well as increasing knowledge for decision-making, at the risk of sounding boring, we've achieved all our targets in that space. I wanted just to talk a little bit about the numbers of Program 4, number of research papers. This, I think, again, you made comment actually at the last portfolio committee meeting about the number of publications, and we explained to you that it's a timing issue about what is considered a publication. Is it considered a publication when it's actually in the public arena or whether it's submitted into two publishers? And this year we got it right. The SOP for this target was much clearer, and we in fact exceeded this target. But this area is a continual improvement in terms of understanding very tightly what are we measuring here. But definitely, we do exceed our targets when we put it. Just to say, Chair, Honourable Chair, you know, the amount of research papers that an institution produces, the back end of it is an indication of the vibrant nature of the sector, also of the enthusiasm and energy of young scientists who are producing publications. Many of them are globally renowned publications. They're not local publications. They're peer-reviewed publications. So I think this is an indicator of the standing of SAMBI scientists in globally and nationally. The rest of Program 4's targets are achieved at a 100% level. So Program 5, this is just an indication of some of the work that we do for your information. I think we have given you many of these documents as but you can also go onto our website. Next. Okay. Program 5 on policy advice and access to information. Again, this last year has been a very busy year for this program, and we achieved all targets And I think we had a discussion about this at the last portfolio committee about the targets, particularly in the access to biodiversity data, but we actually managed to achieve it at the end of the financial year. And this is a this program five is a very busy program, doing a range of things. Okay. Program six, and I'm just asking my colleague to just put it all on so that it can be all at once. Okay. So program six, and I mentioned earlier, Chair, Honourable Chair and members, that for us, in many ways, this has been a year when we really felt we've been grappling with human capital development. The biodiversity sector and conservation sector really suffers, I think, from the legacy issues. Even 25 years or 22 years after democracy, we still grapple with this issue. And as a result of much debate and discussion and relationships, we really have a four-point strategy to overcome what we think is not just a SANBI problem, but a sector problem. So with Groen Sebenza, we worked with 44 host institutions. We developed 350 mentors to train young people. We are particularly focused on unemployed graduates from rural areas. We it is a 2.5-year program, and out of that, over 600 young people got permanent jobs in our sector. And there were also those who got jobs outside of our sector, but in the environmental space. So, for example, some have gone to Pick and Pay, others have gone to mining houses, but they have gone as environmental people into those sectors. But for us, these young people from the Groen Sebenza program, which came to an end in this last financial year, will have a complete change in our sector. We already feel their energy and their new thinking that those of us who are old don't think anymore. So we think that they will transform our sector. And they now are based all over the sector, in government, in NGOs, in public entities. So we're very proud. And Ms. Malema, who really is has been leading this and spending every energy of a minute trying to get this project right, really, if she needs to talk a little bit more about it, she really has led it. And we're very proud of this project. Then the other area is by taking those who already got first degrees or on the system. What we find is that many of these young graduates cannot navigate the world and can't navigate our sector. And it's about having confidence, it's about having support. And so this Green Matter work that we've been doing, Green Matter being this project that we created together with the Lewis Foundation, has really been amazing, including training 250 teachers in the biodiversity space, as well as looking at curriculum for universities and high schools, and working with conservation players in improving that. It's a very long journey, this journey of human capital development in our strategy, in our sector. Then, of course, we are proud about our staff development and our 2% spent. And then our major money and our major activity and traditional activity has been in this education and outreach area. And we've certainly exceeded targets. Again, I think as we get more and more relationships with schools, high schools, primary schools, engaging with their careers, inviting them for programs in our gardens, we are finding ourselves having higher and higher achievement rates in this space. Thank you. Next. So that was just it's a short version of everything that we've done in the human capital space for you to see. But in terms of this space, again, I think you're going to breathe a sigh of relief. There is one target that we partially achieved. In our view, as we analyze and look back on this target, I think it was the way the target was set out, which because it was not in our control to have it, we should not have put it in, basically. But nevertheless, it's a pity the way the targets work out, because we have had workshops. We did have a very interesting workshop. It's just that we didn't get 15 participants from Deer itself. We got 5 from Deer, but we also got more than 15 altogether from provincial and municipal and pastor institutions. So I think this was the way this target was set out. Otherwise, our target around our targets in this space have all been achieved up to the end. So, and the last one is just, I'm not sure why it's in the colors of Angola, but it's, I think those are the Angolan colors. But it's 98% with that one target, which was partially achieved, and one was modified in quarter three. It was the one around income. So that's our consolidated dashboard. And so I will hand, with your permission, Honourable Chair and members, that I've handed over to Ms. Lorato Sithole to talk about our audited financial statements. Thanks, Lorato.
Thank you, CEO. Good afternoon, Honourable Chair and committee members, to the DG and the department, my board chair, and all other colleagues. Firstly, I would like to sincerely apologize for arriving late this morning. It was outside my control. My flight was a little bit delayed. I will be taking you through the audited financial statements of 2015-16 of SANBI. I will start off with the audit outcome. I'm very pleased to inform the committee that we have received an unqualified audit opinion from the AG. There were some material adjustments, 2 of them, and I will talk to them on the next slide. We also have an emphasis of matter on the audit report, which is the AG's prerogative, essentially, to decide what item they would like to emphasize. And because of one adjustment that we had, which impacted the prior year figures, they felt it quite necessary for them to emphasize that some of the prior year figures had been restated. I'm also happy to inform the committee that we did not have any irregular expenditure of fruitless and wasteful. So we are very comfortable as management that all resources have been used appropriately. Moving on to the material adjustments. Chair, firstly, I would like to point out that both these material findings were new findings, which have never been reported on. In my view, it indicates the depth and the breadth that the audit team has taken on this audit. They themselves, they have admitted that they enjoy the SANBI audit because of the broad scope of SANBI, and they get very excited on the audit. As a matter of fact, on this particular audit, we were audited twice on most items. The first one being the government grant, we had to adjust our government grant from the department with 5 million rands. Unfortunately, there was an adjustment which was processed during the financial year, which was not communicated to the entity by the 31st of May. The second material adjustment relates to... Sorry, Chair?
Can you repeat the government grant? You were not aware that there's 5 million more.
No. Sandy was not aware that our government grant from the department or from National Treasury had been reduced by 5 million rands. There was an adjustment that was processed during the year, and Sandy was not notified.
Just that by MT, medium term adjustment budget. Okay. All right. No, I want to clarify myself as you move. Sorry to interject.
The entities receive when we engage with Treasury, and the letters of allocation come from the department. So when last year we had budget cuts, I remember we presented to the committee that these are the cuts that we made during the adjustment period. However, and we cut across all the entities. However, we did not write the letter to Sandy to inform them that we've cut the budget. So that is what the CFO is confirming, that we send them that communication after the end of the financial year. So that's what they did not seemingly factor in. I don't know whether it was going to be a savings on their part anyway, but yeah.
No, it's understood. Okay, then proceed.
Then the second item, Chair and the committee, relates to property, plant and equipment, but essentially it's around the minor assets. Particularly for the 15-16 financial year, the minor assets that were acquired were less than a million rands, and as such were accepted by the AG that they were immaterial. However, when they looked at the previous financial years and looked at all the minor assets in totality, they came to the conclusion that they were material, and thus we had to adjust our financials. I think this issue mainly emanates, if you look at Sandby, we received an infrastructure grant in the last three financial years for the first time, and as such our asset base grew and we are spread in 11 locations, and I think there was a delay in terms of addressing that that gap that was there. There was limited human capacity. In fact, in all the 11 locations, there has only been one official that deals with asset management. I will talk to the corrective action on these two findings later on in the presentation. The financial performance, which is the income statement, as it's generally known, we are reporting a surplus of 34 million, which is an increase from the previous financial year. Revenue, there is a decrease of 16%. And expenses also, there's a decrease of 18%. I will talk to the two items separately. Next slide, please. Thanks. Government grant grew 5% from the previous financial year. Overall, we are reporting a decline of 16%, as I've already indicated, which is 100 million. And in terms of other grants, sponsorships, and donations, there's also a decrease of 48%, which is mainly because of one of the projects, Working for Wetlands, which has moved out of the entity back to the department. Revenue that is generated by the entity has grown by 5%, and most of it is because of the rental income that we receive from our restaurant tenants and admissions income. On the next slide is a graphical representation of the spread of our revenue, particularly that generated by the entity, the biggest portion being our admission fees into the National Botanical Gardens, It's 9 of them represented. In fact, you could say 8 of them, because Gwelegha, the Eastern Cape, is not yet active, and one does not have a huge population around it, but it does generate a little bit. Year on year on the next slide, that's another format of graphical representation for comparison with the previous financial year. The mustard being the current year and the blue being the previous financial year. And the biggest variance is in the other grants, donations, and sponsorship. Expenditure. The first column there deals with the 15-16 financial year, and the second one with the previous financial year. Overall, on personnel, there has been a 2% decrease, with the biggest decrease being under the project personnel. And that is entirely linked to our project, as the CEO has already indicated. All our project staff are employed in line with the term of the project. In terms of MTF, we are quite happy to inform the committee that our salary scales are linked to DPSA. So there was minimal increase as per the DPSA approvals. Operating expenses we have reduced by 37%, with the bulk of it once again coming from projects. But also on MTF, we have slightly decreased from 102 million to 101, or we have stayed flat graphically on that one, which is a very good indication for the entity. It means that we are managing our costs very well. We are utilizing our resources, even though there are price increases, and we are applying the cost containment fully. And in some instances, we even go to the extreme. Then there are other elements as well in terms of expenditure. We have spent a little bit more on repairs and maintenance, which is expected with the increased infrastructure grant, the depreciation as well related to the infrastructure. Cost of sales as well has increased because of also the increase in sales and the other items which accounting treatments. Then in terms of expenditure analysis, graphically, the biggest expenditure item that we have is on personnel costs, followed by OPEX, and the others are quite minor year on year. The biggest movement or variance has been on OPEX, also related to the Working for Wetlands project being moved out, and just general monitoring of expenditure patterns. On the next slide, I have presented the detailed analysis of the payroll expenditure as requested by the committee in the previous meeting. On the top left, is the whole organizational analysis overall. So this would be MTF and also projects as to how we are spending on payroll. So I'll start with the blue, which is corporate or admin program one, 16%. Group, slightly 6%. And group particularly deals with issues pertaining to pension, our bonuses, which we limit to the DPSA allowable of 1.5% of all employee costs. Staff assessments and long service hours and so on. Then 32% goes to our science and policy area, and 46% goes to our garden. On the bottom right, it's a summarized analysis of how we are spending. So 79% of payroll goes towards our core areas, that is science and policy and garden, with a minimal of 21% on support and admin. On the next slide is a similar analysis, but purely focusing on MTF. So on this one, I will focus on the bottom right graph with core operations, science, policy and gardens representing 73% and support 27%. So that's how the MTF payroll looks like. Now coming to the bottom line on the income statement, we are reporting a surplus of 34 million, which is as a result of accounting treatment as required by GRAP. So we have recognized or have moved out 51 million of the revenue that would have been received through the income statement. It has been recognized as part of fixed asset on the statement of financial position. As such, it doesn't reflect as an expenditure on the income statement. We have also recognized 21 million relating to depreciation of fixed assets, and it has a reducing effect on that 51 million, giving us a total of 30 million with the balance of 4 million due to other accounting treatments such as lease smoothing and so on. Financial position. We are happy to announce that we are solvent. Our assets exceed liabilities. And if you look at our current assets, they also exceed our current liabilities, making us liquid and able to meet obligations as they arise. Non-current assets has grown from the previous financial year. That's our fixed assets, our land and buildings, motor vehicles, and so forth. Current assets, mainly debtors and cash, has reduced, which is also as a result of paying out certain liabilities and commitments. That gives us a total of 511 million. Non-current liabilities, particularly relating to employee benefit obligations, have increased from the previous financial year. We, however, continuously monitor our employee obligations on an annual basis. We are informed by the actuarial valuations that are done every year, and we then assess for opportunities for us to manage those liabilities and work out where we can. So far, the valuations have indicated that it is best to leave matters as they are. Current liabilities has decreased from the previous financial year. This is made up of the accounts payables and accruals. Then we have an accounting accumulated surplus, which has increased from the previous financial year. Financial position, the graph basically, if you look at it, it quite clearly reflects that our strongest asset that we have is non-current assets, and which is quite good because we are based in 10 or 11 places. Financial position year on year, our non-current assets have grown. Current assets have reduced, and non-current liabilities have roughly stayed the same, and current liabilities also have reduced, which is quite comforting given that the current liabilities and current assets have both the same direction of movement, although our current assets have stayed much higher than current liabilities. That satisfies us. financial, overall, in terms of financial position, so we have been assessed also by the AG that we are in a healthy financial position. And we are holding adequate, sufficient funds on our records, on our books, to meet all financial and contractual obligations arising from donor agreements. I think it's quite important to emphasize that some of the donor agreements span over one financial year, and they are linked to projects, and there are certain deliverables. So far, we have not.
Can you go to page 60? Can you jump the other slides? Go to page 60. And then, because from page 60 you address the issues raised in the audit findings. So take us through those three slides. Slide 60. Sorry.
On
take
page
us through those two slides, 60 and 61.
On page 60, Chair and committee members, the first material finding that we had, the understatement of revenue and receivables, as these work in conjunction. I've already dealt with the cause and how it was resolved at the time of finalizing the audit. We had to adjust the financials accordingly. And in terms of dealing with the root causes, we have addressed the issue with the CFO of the department and also the DG, and we have received comfort that communication will be strengthened between the department and the entity. The second finding dealing with minor assets. Also with this one, we had to make appropriate adjustments to the financials in agreement with the AG. In terms of resolving the issue, we are in the process of finalizing a permanent resource to capacitate the asset management processes. We are hopeful that it will be finalized before the end of this month. We have already started with the asset verification process to make sure that we are strengthened before the end of the financial year. And 50% of it is already complete. We are quite satisfied with the outcome thus far with that 50%. And we are now continue with the remaining 50% to ensure that it's done before the AG comes back to audit us. We are also addressing the issue of ensuring that the minor asset register is also dealt with appropriately throughout the financial year. The Auditor General have given us their support in terms of auditing this area during the interim audit, which will be taking place in January. And we are quite confident as management that we will be able to resolve this finding before the AG audits us. We've had success in resolving other issues and other findings and recommendations of the Auditor General, as they have also commended us on those issues. And we have the support of the CEO and the board to resolve these findings. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Members, that's the annual report of Zambi, we can engage now. Honorable Khadeb has indicated that he has got something, so he left. Okay, let me take the hands We'll start from Honorable Mabilu and then conclude here. Or there's only Honorable Mabilu and Honorable Kekar. Only a O. Alright, now we'll start from there and then conclude with Kekar. See, the whip doesn't want to engage on this one. Alright, Mabilu.
Kalibuha Mudula Stulu. Thanks, Chair. On the finances, in terms of the annual report, let me first start by saying that Zambia has been consistent in terms of clean audits and unqualified reports, but we have seen some notorious offences. The restatement of on page 89 of the around the error.
Page 89 of the annual report. Okay.
Page 88. The item that deals with the restatement of the financial. I'm interested in the error, CFO. What was the error? Because, I mean, over the years, the CEO office has been very efficient on all the aspects. I mean, I'm just inquisitive to know what is the error. On page 90, on the liabilities, the DG has explained, and yourself, around the budget cards and the correspondence between Zambia and the department. But I'll be interested in the unspent conditional grants and receipts. What would be the contributory factors, you and CEO and CFO? Despite the fact that there was a budget cut of 5 million, but still, in terms of liabilities, there's underspend. Now, coming to your surplus of 34 million, I'll be interested to know whether you surrender the surplus to Treasury, or do you reinvest it in your program? Because I know some parks, once there's a surplus, National Treasury takes it. I'm definitely impressed about your, in as much as you are not stating it, but you've got a very resilient fraud detection program. I was interested that you even trace a limited amount of 25,000, which is very good. If all our departments, must I refer you to the page? I've gone through last night through your annual report. But the point is that it's just you don't need to panic. It's just a complimentary a matter from my side. I was deeply impressed. I read it twice. Say, but this department can go back to 25,000 fraudulently paid into another account. It's very good. Chair, for this round, those will be my question. Two, no. See, you have not met all your targets, CEO. We know the outstanding matter in terms of your parks and gardens. The vendor issue is still a tamaleki, and you have not highlighted it. It's reflected in your annual report. You have spoken about the Eastern Cape, but the Toyando, you have not spoken of, you have not achieved it. So, is what you have raised last year is repeating again. So if we can just get approved. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Nyan.
Thank you, Chairperson. Maybe one starts by welcoming the report from the CEO and the CFO. Also to congratulate CEO for the good work done over the past 10 years in this entity, Sishunjalo City Malibongwe. Yes.
Yeah, you are really rubbing it in. Yeah, I see.
Chairperson, in the highlights of the year 2015-2016, they've mentioned the municipal support program. Just I want to know, maybe the entity can outline the capacity that have been supported to this municipality, so that we can fully understand what they are doing in the municipalities, and also to know which are the municipalities that are capacitated in the year under review. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. My colleagues raised my other questions, like water. I'm not going to dwell again on the water because we are in course. I want to indicate that Sambi enrolled and was registered with the South African Facilities Management Association for facilities management. Please, can you explain the details of this membership registration and how much did you pay? How regularly is the membership to be renewed? What is the overall revenue benefit of this registration for the organization? Were there some of before and after studies to determine the impact? Thank you.
Okay. You don't want to say anything?
No.
It would be very unusual of yourself.
Oh, okay. Yes. Okay. First, let me draw the attention of the CFO to slide 47. I might have missed you if you indicated the differences of the years there. I was following, and I do know that it's not correct that when you look at the years 14, 15, 15, 16, it's 14, 15, 14, 15. Yes, it may be confusing. What is it? Although in your accounting, it will be known which current year is that and so on. It's a minor thing. The other chair is that we interacted with both the Office of the Auditor General and the Financial and Fiscal Commission. They did raise some of the issues you have indicated already. But all I wanted to come to is that there's a claim by the Office of the Auditor General that you submitted your financial statements which were of poor quality this time around for auditing, that we should play a role in ensuring that you present reliable information for reporting. We've got copies in that regard, something in black and white. The second is that the Financial and Fiscal Commission did indicate this slight decline in terms of the previous year or the previous years of clean audit opinion, which was great in terms of those matters of emphasis. But they went on to say that that was due to non-compliance with prescribed financial reporting framework as required by Section 55(1)(a) of the PFMA. I was interested to understand what could have been the problem in you not adhering to all that. But CEO, perhaps, and your team, two issues around transformation. Just to understand whether you do comply with the BEE or broad-based Black economic empowerment in terms of procurement. We know that you do have restaurants and so on and so on in your gardens. It will be interesting to understand even the chair of the board, how you're handling this thing, who runs your
your restaurants and so on, whether there's any transformation in that regard or it's business as usual, you know, traditional persons who have been running these institutions continue to do so even at the end of their own contracts, if you contracted them for specific years, which you should. The other, perhaps Chair, if we were to succeed in dealing or hosting this Green Fund, were appointed somebody to do that, what are the benefits? Because, yes, the other countries will apply and will benefit from that as well. Will they distribute? What will be the difference in terms of those countries and ourselves who will be hosting these things? Are there specific benefits, or we'll just allocate ourselves when we so feel? Because we shall be in control, in charge of that. The last one, Chair, that there's impending of the coming of the zoological gardens to Zambia. What will be the implications? Are we going to be more efficient in terms of getting more skills from that and so on? Or it's going to be the merger may come with particular challenges which you foresee, and what could be those? Let me leave.
Thank you. The Pretoria Zoo must update us on that. Just few things from my side. Firstly, we must congratulate you on 98% achievement in terms of your predetermined objectives. It's a very good performance. It's an excellent performance. We must congratulate you for that. Maybe it's because the CEO has been there for 10 years. So. I don't know whether it's a function of that, or is it a function of setting them in such a way that you'll achieve them. But nevertheless, we must congratulate you for that. It's excellent performance. However, there is some few things that worries us. It's for two consecutive financial years, the entity has regressed in terms of the financial performance, according to the AG. All the years we have been receiving clean audits, 2014, 15, and 15, 16, you have been receiving qualified but with matters of emphasis. Now, the AG says that had it not for your material adjustment on the financials, which were submitted to him for auditing, the entity could have received a qualified opinion. So there are two adjustments which were made on the 5 million. And I must say, DG, of course, the department takes responsibility for that, that they did not. Maybe something that when the department comes, we must express a disappointment with the department. But normally, when the adjustment appropriation is adopted or approved by Parliament, normally the entities should be able on their own to get that, because that adjustment was done by this adjustment that is going to come next next week or week after next, 26, is it next week? Week after next, yeah, the minister will then table, will debate, and finally a parliament will approve. So I think maybe it also speaks to the fact that you should not only wait for the formal letter, but you must look at this thing. I don't know whether the minister adjusted for the department and that the department adjusted for the entities, or that adjustment was also included in the minister's appropriation bill. But I think that you can be forgiven for the fact that you are not aware. But the question of the property, plant and equipment, the asset register in particular, which was also an adjustment on the financials. I do get your explanation that there's one person who works on property for all the 11 areas that you're responsible for, but I don't think that is a justification enough point, especially if it comes for the second time in the financials. Because you see, we have to guard jealously the performance and the clean audit status of the entity. If we don't do that, then we're going to be in trouble. We've always been saying that the department and all its entities are performing well. We don't want to be disappointed, but it's because of the small things that you begin to regress. So that is one of the points that I just want to raise. I want to comment on that. I don't know what capacity is the CFO in your is it division or directorate or whatever in terms of preparation, because the AG says the financial statements that you submitted are not prepared in line with the accepted standards. It's something that is there. And it raises three things which I want to share with you now. Quickly. Around internal controls. Two of them in a... What color is this? Yellow. Yes. It's yellow. Okay. Two yellows and one red. it's proper record keeping says that there's much to be improved around that in the finance. Unit, and there is compliance with key legislation, and I think this relates to the preparation of the financial statement. And then there is one red, which is reporting, and they put it in red because they think that if you don't focus on it, next year definitely you are going to get a qualified audit. So it's a matter which I think the board, the chair of the board, you must go back with your internal audit team, look at this thing. Because if we don't improve on that, we are heading for an unqualified, and will not be happy with the. But generally, the predetermined objectives, well done. But the financials, worries us a lot. So you can respond to that. Maybe we'll start with the chair and you'll distribute the questions.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, members, for your comments and your compliments. And indeed, we have to worry when we have been performing so well in terms of our finances, and suddenly we look like we are getting into a dangerous zone. I'm listening very carefully and will make sure that you know, from the audit side, we watch this very, very carefully. And if it's an issue of capacity, you know, we cannot wait to make sure that we deal with it quickly. I'm not going to try to respond to the questions, Chair. I'm going to let the management immediately deal with the questions so that we, you know, you can get into deeper into the nitty-gritties of the issues that you need to raise. Thank you.
So I'll answer some, and then should I dish out to others, Chair? So my colleague would...
mustn't be the only one, I'm sorry.
So my colleague, the CFO, will talk about, again, the restatement of the error, getting more detail about that, and what happens with the underspend of the conditional grant, and if we have a surplus, do we surrender it to Treasury? Thank you for our comment about the good fraud system. Just I want to talk about Toyando a little bit. We're actually on track according to our project plan. It's quite complicated, this transfer of what is essentially a provincial public works asset to a national public works, then which then can engage with us at a national level. So it's quite a complicated, and we knew that, but we still intend to cut the ribbon this financial year. It is an achievement for this financial year, but we've been milestoning it up. I think our MP, Honourable Member, is impatient for us to get that Toyando garden into our hands, but the milestone is this financial year. Then I'm going to ask my colleague Carmel and Vizo to talk about our municipal support program. But in the annual report, you'll see the list of municipalities we're engaging in, but some outline and which municipalities and what it is we do in our various projects, which range from the infrastructure projects to planning to adaptation, etc. That's okay with you, Kamal? And then Mr. Kwakle will talk about the South African facilities management. And then a number of quality questions that was raised by the Honourable Member about the AFS as a poor quality and the Portfolio Committee's role in oversight and the Finance and Fiscal Commission's comments. And your comments, Honourable Chair, can we just roll it all into one explanation and one feedback, CFO?
Just make sure that Mr. Kwakle also deals with the...
Okay. I was just, my list is so the compliance around B in terms of procurement and restaurants. We will ask Mr. Kwakle to do that as well. But I just want to talk. I want to talk about the zoo. And not him. He's been working on it, but I want to take responsibility for speaking
zoo.
About the zoo.
What's happening in the zoo?
Okay. So we just in my list.
Who's in the zoo?
Yes. Yes. Shirley will add.
Also want to add on
yes,
that.
The DM must add. Yeah. So I want to just answer your question. I think that covers it all, but I want to just answer your question about the Green Climate Fund very quickly. So the funding infrastructure globally shifts a little bit, and the first fund that came out of the UNFCCC around adaptation was the Global Adaptation Fund, which we became the national implementing entity for. And so we have run these number of projects at municipal level, looking at how you climate-proof communities and assets. And on the back of the success of that, Minister asked us to then apply for the Green Climate Fund, which is another instrument in that UNFCCC space. And they're meeting this month, and by all intents and purposes, we will become the national implementing entity. But we will not be alone. There will be three national, or there is at the present three national implementing entities for this bigger fund: DBSA, Nedbank, and us. And they're dealing with different things in that space. And Environment Affairs has developed a framework within which South Africa will work and its national implementing entities. So they've given us guidance about the framework. So it won't be other countries that apply. It will be us. Yeah. And the issue is, how do we ensure that the criteria for allocating resources and money are actually going to give benefits in terms of anything in the Green Climate Fund space? Of course, it's a bigger space than the adaptation space. And it has issues around alternative energy, et cetera, et cetera. But I wanted to just ask my colleagues from DEA, since that it was discussed at MINTEC and now it's been agreed at MINMEC, that maybe we should give you a copy of it for you to see what is that framework, so that you can see how to have oversight over us as an NIE of this fund. And I'm sure it's possible, because it went through MINMEC about 2 weeks ago, the framework for the activities within the Green Climate Fund space. And it won't only be us, but it'll also be DBSA and Nedbank to give a framework. So that was one. And then I want to talk about a little bit about the zoo, then I think our colleagues will also say. You asked, our colleagues will answer the more technical, the more process questions, but I wanted to just say the implications. The zoo, there are a number of quite unique scientists in the Zoological Garden pack. They have some unique attributes that we don't have, which we would want to have, like in the genetics space. They are the National Biogenetics Center, and they keep, they have been working in that area. They have got quite a substantial grant from the from NRF, from DST, to improve their science facilities. So in that regard, when we have done, Kamal has done the analysis, there's a very good fit in our science and their science. The part that is not so easy to fit is that we have been running gardens, and plants don't need anything more but some rain and a bit of weeding, whereas the National Zoological Gardens have live animals that go from snakes to lions to even some foreign animals like gorillas, which we don't have but we keep. So this is a new area, this area of animal management. But there is a legislative logic, because in our legislation, it says we should be looking after animals in enclosures, if you look at the Act. So it's not illogical that they come to us. So we are really looking forward to them coming to us. But our colleagues from the department can talk a little bit more about the process and how far have we got in that transfer, because we have been led to believe that it might be the 1st of April 2017, but we have not yet quite got clarity about that. Thank you. So my other colleagues, are you going to stop, McKinsey?
Maybe still on the zoo. We can,
yes,
allow,
okay,
Shoni to comment.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members. It's good that I just came from a meeting again yesterday trying to clarify some of the outstanding issues pertaining to this. I think the CEO is right in that we are no longer talking about whether or not the zoo will come, but I think the question is when and how. So there are a number of areas that DST and DEA, in support of NRF, SANB, and the National Zoological Gardens process are doing. We were looking at a number of things that we consider as outstanding, three key issues. or we categorize them into three areas. One, they are legal matters that need to be dealt with. Also, clarifying the mandate issues, even on their side, how the zoo is established. It's not established as entities like the others. And what it would mean to rescind that decision for its establishment, but also on the receiving side, what it means for us in line with our own mandate. The CEO is right in the interpretation. So that part, there's a legal team comprising of members from DST, NRF, SANBI, DIA, just to make sure that we cover on both sides. So that's the legal part of it. There are other legal issues that I may not go to now. Then the second category is the issue of finances. That is the big one. There's been, I think, the CFO and the COO can talk to that in terms of the shortfall, because what we are saying is that when you transfer, it's got to be lock, stock, and barrel, but it must not create undue liability on the side of the receiving party. And therefore, what comes must not have a shortfall. What comes must not create an immediate burden. So that comes in two forms. One is to make sure that the baseline is correct relative to the operations of the zoo. Secondly, the capital injection that's required upfront, just to make sure that in the preceding years, or not the preceding years, the immediate years following, then you don't have that challenge, because the revenue that comes from a functional zoo would be very much useful to make sure that it doesn't become a burden. So there are those aspects that have to be dealt with, including the involvement of Treasury right in the process as we move along to clarify those. So the finance task team has dealt with a number of issues to that effect to clarify how much is the shortfall, how is it qualified or quantified with details, and how do we deal with that particular aspect, to the effect that DST is committing to, I'm putting it in inverted commas, to fund for a period, and that period we try to qualify it, whether it's going to be 3 years or it's going to be, that's the issue, just to support. But then we still have to deal with the shortfall from what they are going to be putting in. There are certain figures that are there which we know. Then the third area, which is the last one that I will talk to, is the HR matters. This one is a bigger one because it will also involve labor issues, you know, the conditions on that side and the conditions on this side, what will mean the changes, and that transfer has to be managed, I think, sensitively. So there is a team that's assigned to also deal with this one in particular. Apart from other operational issues, those are the three main big areas that must be dealt with immediate effect. If we are to meet the 1st of April deadline, even if it happens that we don't meet
first
that...
April next
2017. So if it happens that we don't, but these areas need to have been resolved to the you know, adequately, for this transfer to be smoother. So I can take it only up to that far.
All right. So, by the way, it's currently managed by Science and Technology.
Under NRF.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I think it makes sense to come to DIA, and then DIA to give it to yourself, or I don't know whether national parks would have been more appropriate, I don't know. But I guess you will manage it in the manner that Shoni says you are dealing with it. We'll get progress report as and when it's necessary.
I just want to make a comment that is a biological asset, those snakes and spiders and lions. And so our asset, minor asset story will triple when we get the zoo. The plants in the ground are not biological assets, but those animals in cages are biological assets according to the AG.
Oh, but Sandparks manages those animals in the wild.
The caged ones are a biological asset.
Oh, okay. All right, maybe if we can, because I'm just worried that we need to break so that we have not organized lunch. So we must break before the restaurant closes so that we can go and have lunch there. Pay for ourselves. I did make a comment that it's quite strange that there's no money from portfolio committees to do its work. So, and we are the ones who are approving these monies. So I'm not going to vote next time if we don't get enough. I'm going to withhold my vote. So I'm not going to pass the budget.
We should start from the head.
The head. Who is the head? Parliament. No, it shouldn't be. Anyway, who is going to respond? Can we do that in the next 5 minutes or 10 minutes? Some of the issues are points to ponder, you know, issues to reflect on when you are in your own space. But you can respond to those that you think you must respond to.
Thanks, Chair. I'll just quickly deal with the issue of the restaurant since we are there. We have some restaurants in some of our gardens, not all of them. As a matter of fact, we've looked at our business model that in the new ones that we are establishing, we don't necessarily have to build restaurants there based on the marketing research we've done. But the restaurant is part of our offering to the market and actually as a way of attracting people into the gardens. And we don't have internal resources that are actually managing because it's not a core skill that we have as a science institutions. So what we've done, we've actually outsourced all the restaurants to operators. We advertise them on the 5-year contract, which can be renewed. And then we get rental from them. You'll see that our rental in our figures, rental has actually increased as a revenue stream, and so they pay us rental on that. But we just manage them anyway in terms of their performance and to make sure that we're collecting all the money that is due to them, that is due to SENBI. So they are all together totally outsourced. We've actually done a benchmark with other organizations. Some of them have actually, they have staff, full-time staff that are running the restaurants, but they are in the process also of outsourcing them. So that is the restaurants. And
the BEE compliance issue that you're interested in.
The
BEE. It's about BEE.
Yeah. Oh, okay, in terms of BEE also that we have now some of our restaurants, when we advertise them, there's a BEE component. I can just say from last year we have the one new operator in Pretoria that is now 100% run by BEE operators. And then we are also always following that up with the as the contracts expire that we try to attract BEE operators into the gardens. And Bloemfontein as well, we do have some of the operators that are fully BEE. So it's another way in which we actually achieve our BEE targets.
Thank you very much.
And on the SAFMA chair, it's the South African Facilities Management. We've since last year enrolled with them. It's an organization that assists us with certain standards for managing facilities. Members are aware that, as the CEO said earlier on, that our estate is nationally, it's actually increasing. So we have a lot of buildings that need to be managed in a particular way, and in terms of maintenance, safety, and also helping us to, they also help us to ensure that health and safety standards are maintained. So we are paying about 36,000 per month with unlimited membership, but currently we only have 28 members who are now enrolled with them. But the number, as I say, the number is unlimited. As we grow the estate, then we can add more of our garden employees to be part of this thing, where they actually get resources like on policies, processes, maintenance, health and safety. So it, I think it's a good thing because it's a, that's where we get good practice from that in accredited institution.
Comment on municipal and then civilian on food spending.
Thank you, Honourable Chair and members. I won't take too much time. Our municipal program is quite a diverse and large component of what SAMBI does, and it covers city and rural municipalities across the country. I'll just very quickly give you an example of the areas in which we provide that support. The Frunzebenzer program, for example, a number of municipalities hosted our Frunzebenzer pioneers. Also, in terms of biodiversity GIS, supporting our municipalities around planning and use of spatial data, we have an ongoing program year on year training our municipal officials to really support them in increasing their capacity around biodiversity planning, development of maps, and so on. Our CEO also mentioned in terms of adaptation, we've got the adaptation fund where we're giving support to a number of municipalities around ecosystem adaptation. Also, a very exciting program, our Ngeni catchment program, is around ecological infrastructure. We're working with it. Another group of municipalities around that. We also work with our municipalities around our biodiversity and land reform program, supporting communities on how to bring biodiversity into management of natural resources.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Is that enough? Thank you.
Take that offline with the Honorable Mabilo. Okay. Yeah, if you can.
Okay. So I don't think there was any specific question that was asked on Frunzebenzer, but I would like to summarize the story of Frunzebenzer by simply saying that, you know, the story of human capital development is a story about people, and it's a story about surfacing the talent that we have in our young people and actually giving them an opportunity to thrive and to really succeed at this. And, you know, let's just take one quick example of this. Imagine a young girl who grew up in the Northwest Province in a rural area, you know, who grew up seeing open-air vehicles being driven by men and women in khaki uniform with green epaulets, growing up and aspiring to be in that space and getting an opportunity to go to university and actually succeeding and becoming an environmental educator. And entering into that sector after taking a pay cut as a teacher, but saying, you know, this is what I want to do. I'd rather go into the sector and take a pay cut. And entering into the sector and being mentored by some of the people who are sitting in this room, you know, Shoni Munjezi, for example, showing her the ropes of how to become a good environmental manager, a practitioner. Not only people like Shoni who are professionals, but people who are often referred to as general workers because they are wearing green overalls. But those people showing her that this is what this tree does, this is what this shrub heals. And this young woman today sitting here and addressing this portfolio committee. Wow. That's the story of Frunzebenzer. Now, Frunzebenzer has done exactly that. When I was growing up, there was no Frunzebenzer, but I grew up being that, and through that I have brought up 950 young people who are in this sector. You know, they are at entry level positions. Some of them are in middle management positions. In a few years' time, that 628 young people, 54% of them being female, 88% of them being African, are going to be in this room addressing the portfolio committee of that time. And then the strength and the greatness of Frunzebenzer program will live on forever. Thanks, Chair.
Quite inspirational. It's very inspirational.
1 minute.
It's quite a good story there.
thank you, Chair and Committee.
We are touched by that. And I think it's a. We must say thank you to the department, to everybody, Shoni and the rest, and for this, for being responsible for what we see here. Lastly, the finance.
Thank you, Chair. I will start with the first question table, the restatement of financial statements, which is indicated on the annual report. The issue talks to the issue around assets once again, the material finding that I spoke to earlier. I think it's in the format that we report because we are guided by GRAP, and the AG then have to audit us in that fashion. Because of that, the whole issue around assets have to be split into different financial years. When I made the presentation, I indicated that for the 15-16 financial year, the issue around assets was immaterial, accepted as such. But if they look at the prior financial years, cumulatively, it becomes material, hence the adjustment to the prior financial years. Now, in terms of GRAP standards, when you have that, you have to go back and restate the figures that you have reported in the previous financial years. I'm hoping that I'm explaining it thoroughly.
Yeah. No, you're not. Maybe you shouldn't attempt to explain it. Maybe it's a homework for the for your team to go and deal with it. And then to come back to give us the progress on how you are managing it. It's an issue that I don't think it must be explained away. It must be tackled going forward. I think maybe let's leave it at that. And thank you very much for coming. We must wish the CFO very well in your future endeavors. The CEO. I'm referring to the CEO because we are told that this is the last annual report. Oh, until August. Oh, okay. No. Then we'll have sufficient time then to wish a farewell. But I must say that you did perform well as an entity. We're just saying that don't take your eyes off the ball in terms of finances. So that's that. Anyway, thank you very much for coming. Just a minute. We're supposed to deal with the program, but let's just table it for information. We are going to do some amendments because there's been interaction with the department. There are days where they will not be able to be there. Like, for instance, next week, in terms of the program, we are only going to get a presentation on the working on fire. We must get the company, that working on fire company. And then we are going to move the labs. We are going to get presentation on the labs, all of them. And then we are going to move the briefing on industry waste plans, REDISA, and the plastic regulations. We'll just get a date when that can fit in. Next week, Thursday, we have just received information that there will be caucuses by various political parties, so the morning session is not going to take place. We'll only come back to do the ratification at 2 and the adoption of the PRRR. So that's it. So next week, we'll deal with working on fire and then the labs, 3 of them. I hope you are ready to present. There was a nice presentation done there at CITES.
Yeah.
we hope to get saying here. So that's it. And then next week, Tuesday, we then adopt a revised program. Is that fine, members?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you very much. The meeting is adjourned.
Yeah, you can't understand.